What is going on, everybody? It is Flapjack Steve, and I have who you kid? What's your name?
Flapjack Tyler.
Oh, you switched it up on me, huh? We were calling you Baby Flap. I kind of like Flapjack Tyler a little better. All right, we'll go with one of the two. Prod Flapjack. What do we call you? Flap Prod. Prod Flap. Producer Flap.
Producer Flap.
Producer Flap. We'll go with it because you flap your jaws a lot.
Are you looking to fight already?
I am, with Boston fans always.
Bring it, stick boy.
Yeah. All right, it is Wednesday, October 10th, 10-10.
2018.
Bingo. This is episode number 6, and this is going to be probably the most random grouping of junk we've talked about yet, because yes. I got a list of just randomness to go over.
Yes, we do.
Let's start off with the game me and you watched last night. Yes. Who was playing last night?
The Flyers against the Sharks.
That's right. And do you remember the score?
8-2.
Yes, that is correct. It was 8-2.
Yes.
And our Flyers did not look very good, did they?
No. And also on Saturday, me and my
Yeah. Well, me and your Pop-Pop.
My dad and Pop-Pop went to the Flyers game, and they were playing the Avalanche, and they still lost.
That's right. And they looked horrible. Getting to see them suck in person was a new thing for this year so far. What I can say, and what I think a lot of Flyers fans think, at least for me personally, and I know some of the Flyers fans that we were talking to at the game, there is a bunch of issues with this team, and I think it starts at the head coach. Dave Haxtell should not be an NHL coach. He was awesome in college. He did really, really well for, North Dakota or some college team he coached. I don't remember. Yes. But coming to the Flyers, his first year, he was awful, and everyone said, well, give him a year to work on it. And then, you know, the following year, they were still just as bad, but they made the playoffs. So everyone's like, well, maybe it's a step up. And I can tell you that this dude has no control over this locker room at all. They come out flat. They've came out flat all season with the exception of Vegas. Yes. Go for it.
And they also saw a man that had flyer singles on it and this has flyers.
Yes. He had a flyer suit on. That's right. I hadn't got there yet, but that's true. That happened in Denver, huh? Yeah. So, you know, what it comes down to is that Haxtell has no control over the locker room. They, like I said, was saying they come out flat every single game. Even in Vegas, which they ended up winning in Vegas, which is one of the hardest places to play, somehow they were able to win there, but they still went down 1-0. It's shocking to me that this team is not ready to play. In Denver, they looked so slow compared to the young Avalanche team. Who I think is going to be good this year. Don't get me wrong. I had the Flyers pegged as being able to take that next step and get out of the first round of the playoffs. You know, granted, last year we lost to Washington, who ended up winning the cup eventually. So it's hard to compare them to that, obviously. But I just don't think Haxtell is the answer, and I'm not sure why he's still there other than Haxtell not wanting to admit that he was wrong for hiring him. The other two guys that seem to be on our chunk is Radko Gudas, who I've hated even before he was a Flyer, but I hate him now even more, and then Andrew McDonald. I thought Mac played well towards the end of last season after he did his little stint of being a phantom and then a healthy scratch and that. What I don't like is Gudas still being out there. Like, the dude is horrible. I don't understand how he's even in the NHL, and much less how he continues to be our top line. In Denver, he was a healthy scratch, which was great, and we got to see a young defenseman step in who I didn't think played half bad, but clearly I guess Haxtell wasn't as impressed as he needed to be to keep him in. Or it could just be the fact that we're paying Radko Gudas way too much freaking money for the next 3 years for how awful he is. I don't get it. We have so much talent in the system defense-wise, but, of course, Haxtell doesn't want to rush him up or whatever. I can tell you that seeing these guys in person, they look horrible. They're not a playoff team. They're not even remotely close to a playoff team. And the shitty thing is that they have the talent to be. You know, they have an extremely talented roster, even down to the young guys. You know, Konechny looked Konechny had a rough night last night, but he looked decent in Denver. He looked good. He looked really good in Vegas. But he just, I don't know why they can't put the pieces together, you know. And I don't know if, I've said it before, and I'll probably continue to stand by that, that I don't think Giroux should be the captain. And it's nothing against how he plays or who he is. I just don't think he's a leader that can grab the team and be like, look, like this is what needs to go down, or, you know, we're playing crappy. I need you guys to step it up. I don't think that's how he plays. And, you know, having the C, I think, is strictly just based on the fact that he's the most talented guy on the roster. Yes, sir.
As for this, can you let me talk?
Yeah, go for it, baby. You just jump in. What do you got to say? Nothing yet? I got to say something. Go. You don't have to ask. Oh, you got to think of something?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to keep talking then, okay? All right. So, yeah, going back to that, I'm extremely frustrated as a Flyers fan, and I think we're always kind of frustrated. I thought this year was going to have better opportunity for us to play. You know, obviously the Sharks were my pick to come out of the West. I think they're probably the most talented team other than Vegas, on that side of the ice anyway. And, the East is going to be a challenge anyway, but regardless, I didn't think they should have lost to the Avalanche at all. They came out so flat in the second period. I couldn't even tell who was on the ice. They were so slow. They weren't getting to any puck battles. They weren't winning any faceoff. It was just ugly. And I don't think they got their first shot until 6 minutes in, 7 minutes in, something like that. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go. Loud.
I got to tell you first.
You got to say it loud into the mic.
Say it so they can hear
you. Don't got to tell me first. Just say it.
We might not do this every day, but sometimes I'll be at school, so.
Oh, yes. That is true. Sometimes you will be at school. Although we do this at night, so.
Yeah.
If you like it, we'll keep you on.
Yeah.
You want to keep talking? Or are you good? You want to keep talking? My man. All right. So I think we've beaten the dead Flyers horse enough at this moment anyway. We will continue. I'm a huge hockey fan, so we will continue to go over that. I guess we could stick with hockey. Mainly, obviously, the Sharks offense exploded last night. They scored 4 goals in the first period. Evander Kane looked absolutely unstoppable. He's on the same tear he was on last year. So that's exciting. Like I said, that's our second favorite team. Yes, sir?
I also got something. Go for it. My dad is also a big basketball fan.
Yes, that is true. I am. But we're not talking basketball yet. You know why? Because basketball hasn't started yet.
Ooh.
But hockey just started. So that's why we're covering hockey.
Yeah, but you still are a big basketball fan.
I am. And I'm a big, big hockey fan. And Flyers and the Sharks. That's who we root for.
And also, he's a big Eagles fan.
Yes. I think they're pretty aware of my Eagles fanhood at this point. Because we did a whole Philly episode a couple episodes ago. I think number 4. So, yeah. So, anyway, going back to that, it was nice to see the Sharks offense finally show up. Like I said, Evander Kane looked really good. Even their goalie play was good. The Flyers didn't put a whole lot of pressure on in the first, but the rest of the game, they were trying. It's hard when you're down 4-1 and then 4-2 and then 5-2 and 6-2, 7-2, 8-2. And my other issue with Hacksaw, as I said earlier, I probably shouldn't keep beating this up, but I'm confused why Elliott was in there for 8 goals. That's absolutely unacceptable. You pull a goalie or swap goalies out at some point. And I know Neuver's hurt, but we got Picard already from waivers. So I don't care if he's not ready to play or whatever. You don't let your star goalie, who in this case is Elliott, who I think is, I mean, after watching him play in Denver, I mean, he's definitely still got it, but he's good one game and not so good the other. He's not a number one goalie anymore. But at this time, before, you know, before Carter Hart comes up, he is our number one goalie. So it's not fair to leave him in there and let him get embarrassed like that. And if I was him, I would be having a big problem with that. So I guess that kind of goes with the Sharks offense, you know. And like I said, they exploded. They looked really good. They spoiled the Flyers home opener and the super cool gritty entrance that I'm sure you've – if you haven't seen it, you need to go watch. I shared it on the Facebook page, Facebook.com/, you know, according to Flapjack. It's awesome. It's hilarious. He came in like a wrecking ball per se. So that doesn't pique your interest. You don't care enough to go see Gritty. He was hilarious. So regardless, the Flyers looked awful. The Sharks finally showed up. I know it's going to take them some time to mesh. But Carlson, God, that signing was or that trade was awesome for the Sharks. You know, Brent Burns already. You got Pickle. You got you know why they call him Pickle? Because his name is Vlasic. So they nicknamed him Pickle. Isn't that funny?
Yes, it is.
So, regardless, the Sharks' defense looks really, really good. Once they mesh, I think they're going to be awesome. So, we'll leave the Sharks-Flyers game alone from this point. I think we've beaten that up enough. There were a bunch of games last night. The Leafs and the Stars. The Leafs, Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Stars, the Dallas Stars.
And then also, who else was on?
We'll get to a couple more in just a minute, but we're going to talk about Auston Matthews and John Tavares real quick.
John Tavares is very a good guy.
Yes, he is. And it's really nice that he doesn't play for the Islanders anymore because now we don't have to hate him. So, obviously, being Flyers fans, we can't root for the Islanders for however many years they were in our division and still being in the Metropolitan with us. But the Leafs, on the other hand, Auston Matthews and John Tavares look absolutely deadly out there. Auston Matthews is on a freaking tear. He's already has 7 goals on the season. He scored another 2 last night. Tavares had a pair as well, so 4 goals between the two of them. I like that team. I like that team a lot. Yes, he is. And I think Babcock, you know, is going to have that team back to where Toronto fans have thought they were going to go for the past decade and never got to. They're going to be difficult. They're going to be very difficult. So that was a fun game. We talked about the Avalanche a little bit earlier. Their magic, if you will, ran out in Columbus, and the Blue Jackets took it to them pretty easily. So, Sometimes we root for the Blue Jackets. I rooted for them last night because I was tired of all the Avalanche fans talking shit, thinking 3 games into the season that they're going to the Cup. But that's none of you people, right? Yeah. So I'll tell you a funny story about the Flyers game at the end of this for those that are interested about some of the Avalanche fans. But, they got absolutely trounced by Columbus, and it happens. It's early in the season, but hopefully that – gives them a little serving of humble pie for them to realize that they're only 3 games or 4 games into the season at this point. So running your mouth a whole bunch isn't a great look. Then the Flames won last night. They've looked good to start the season. They looked a lot better. You know, obviously Monahan is an absolute stud. He scored another 2 goals last night, but I think the real story was Smith and Ned. He stopped 43 shots. And you need your goalie like that every once in a while. Sometimes, even if your offense isn't producing a ton, you need your goalie to stand on your head, and that's exactly what he did. 43 saves is a ton of saves. So I'm surprised at how good they've looked so far. They took it to the Sharks, and you know, so far they've looked poised and not young, even though they are. So they'll be fun to watch. You can go play, bud, if you're done.
I'm not done.
You're good? All right, you're dozing off a little bit on my arm.
I know.
Yeah?
It's like a pillow.
Oh, I'm like a pillow. All right, I'm cool with that.
I'm going to go get a drink.
Okay, buddy. I think that is all the hockey I'm going to cover for now. Let's jump into some other stuff. There are some big things going on. Obviously, number one being that the Red Sox beat the Yankees in the ALDS. I think we were all – well, if you're not a Yankees fan, you're happy about that because nobody likes the Yankees. If you're not a Yankees fan, you don't like the Yankees. That's just the reality of it. So the Red Sox defeated them, and then you got Sabathia, CC Sabathia, bitching about the umpiring. Typical CC move. I'm not a CC fan. I'm not a Yankees fan by any means. You know, they have a giant payroll and couldn't get past the divisional round. The Red Sox are just better than them. That's what it's going to come down to this year. So the Red Sox, I had going to the World Series anyway at the beginning of the year. They just look good, and obviously they're extremely talented. So, yeah, goodbye Yankees. Go sit down another year again. You'll still hear the, you know, oh, well, we got 27 World Championships, blah, 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 from the Yankees fans, but I think it hurts a lot more when you get booted by your arch rival. So pretty comical. I think the Red Sox are going to be fine, though. I think they go through the championship, I think probably in 5 games, maybe 6 if they play Houston. But they're going to be good. So, other news we had, let's see, is that all the base? Yeah, because baseball is kind of boring. Rockies got booted by the Brewers, who look really good. Brewers Dodgers is going to be fun. Going to be real fun. I don't know. I think it's going to be a fun series. I like the Brewers because they're kind of the underdog story, you know. It'd be really cool to see them get to the World Series. I think the Dodgers have too much firepower, though. So I had Dodgers, Red Sox, and we'll see what happens with that. But it'd be nice to have it'd be cool to see, you know, whoever in the AL, because I don't care.
It'd also be cool to see the Phillies win.
Yeah, that would be cool. That's never going to happen, though. The Phillies suck.
Yes, they do.
They are very crappy. So we'll see what happens, but I would like to see the Brewers come out of the National League. I think that would be a fun story to cover. But, man, they look good. They might do it. They're going to push the Dodgers, I think, and that might go 7 games, which would be cool. Other than that, we got a bunch of football stuff. The biggest story, of course, was Drew Brees passing Peyton Manning for the all-time.
Which some of you already noticed.
Yes, they should probably all already know that. But he passed Peyton Manning for all-time passing yards, and it could not have come in a cooler way with a 62-yard touchdown pass as the Saints absolutely trounced the Redskins on Monday night. But Brees is one of those stories that if I don't know what kind of person you would be to say that you weren't rooting for Drew Brees, or you don't have to like the Saints. Man, you don't even have to like the Chargers, you know, like back when he was with the Chargers. But, you know, he's one of those stories. He got hurt. Chargers didn't want to keep the chance on him. You know, he ends up eventually in New Orleans. And then you have, you know, Hurricane Katrina. And him and Sean Payton together were kind of the power couple of the NFL. They end up winning a Super Bowl. The dudes, I mean, you get your normal talk about Aaron Rodgers. You get your normal talk about Tom Brady. Hey, I'm trying to do a podcast over here. Dogs, shut the hell up. Anyway, you get your normal talk about your top-tier quarterbacks, and it's very rare that somebody puts Brees in there, and I don't understand. He is an absolutely phenomenal quarterback. Yes, sir.
And also, the Eagles won the Super Bowl, which we were really happy about.
They did last year. That's true. That's very true. God, these dogs are just running around in here being obnoxious as hell. So I don't get why Drew Brees is never in the conversation, because he is a phenomenal quarterback, like I said. he single-handedly willed them to that Super Bowl. I know the defense stood up pretty strong, and he was doing pretty much everything. But, man, it was a cool story, and it couldn't have a better ending with him. Obviously, he's going to break whatever records are left. I don't see him not playing for another at least 2 to 3 years, right? I mean, if Tom Brady can keep doing it, so can they, right? So I think Breeze stays in the league for a few more years and keeps breaking records. And like I said, I'm super stoked for him. The story behind it is absolutely awesome. He's awesome. He's just a good dude. I don't know how many of you were watching, but he went over and hugged his family. And the coolest thing that the mic picked up, I think, was him telling his boys, you can accomplish anything in life if you work for it. And in that moment, with the spotlight on you and what you just accomplished, for you to take that moment as a teaching lesson for your kids, just shows you the kind of guy he is. And the fact that his family was all down there on the field to celebrate with him, and the way the team surrounded him after it happened, in the locker room, he's the veteran presence that you want. But on top of that all those guys have his back, no doubt. They were all beyond ecstatic for him to get that done. And I know for me personally, just being a football fan, I love seeing records get broken anyway. But when it's a guy that deserves it as much as Drew Brees does, it makes it that much better and that much sweeter. So congrats, Drew Brees, on breaking that record. I hope you play for at least a few more years. And man, the way that NFC is looking, you might get a chance to play for another Super Bowl this year. So I know as long as you're not playing the Eagles, I'm going to be rooting for you. So thanks for dismantling Washington for us. And again, congrats on breaking that record. I'm not getting to the Eagles yet. They're on my list here to get to quickly. And I will probably go off on a massive tangent about how disappointed in that team I am. So we're going to save that for the end, because that's probably going to take up a bunch of our time. So we'll skip over that. Got some sad news, I believe, this morning or late last night. Alex Spanos, the Chargers owner, passed away. He was 95, so I'm not sure if it was expected or unexpected, but either way, it's unfortunate, because I think the Chargers are kind of putting the pieces together, and I feel like he may have had a chance to see them actually do something in the playoffs. And I'm not saying they would have went to the Super Bowl or won the Super Bowl or whatever, but it's always sad when somebody that's been involved in the league as long as Alex has, that passes away, obviously, and unfortunately, we all come to an end at some point, but the timing is kind of crappy, because I believe the Chargers have enough pieces to make a run this year. So condolences out to his family and obviously the whole Chargers organization. It's sad news, to say the least. So condolences out to them. I could go into the Eagles here. I think we're going to bullshit about some coaches that are on the hot seat. It's funny to say that 6 games in, right? Like how many, 5 games at this point, whatever. But going into week 6, you know, is it fair to put anybody on the hot seat that quick in? I think for these, I'm going to pick out 3 guys specifically. And one of them was on my list at the beginning when we made our predictions. And I said that he was going to be gone by week 6 or relatively close to being gone, or fans were going to be calling for his head. And then they started 2-0 and everyone was pumped up. And I said, why don't you look at who they beat? And now that they've played anybody with some talent, they got beat. So, obviously I'm talking about the Broncos and Vance Joseph. I think he's still on the hot seat, if not the hottest seat. He's a close second. I don't know, man. I said it when they hired him. I thought it was a weird hire for the Broncos. You might as well have just hired Wade Phillips at that point. You didn't even bring him back as the defensive coordinator. Is what you've seen with that defense since he left. They've looked terrible, absolutely terrible. I don't know why. Obviously, Von Miller's a beast. He's going to get his regardless, but the rest of that defense has not been impressive at all. So I think he's – I don't know if Elway will be, you know, egotistical enough to not admit that he messed up by hiring him and give him till the end of the year, or if he's going to get as fed up as the fans are and want his head. Obviously, being in Denver, I have a little bit closer relationship to fans of the Broncos and stuff like that. So I hear it all the time. Why was he hired? Why is he still the coach? You know, I also said at the beginning that Chad Kelly was going to be getting called on by the fans when Case Keenum wasn't going to work out. Keenum's a very systematic quarterback, and obviously Vance Joseph is not offensive enough to utilize, you know, Keenum's weapons. And that's the crappy thing. That offense has weapons. You know, you still have Emmanuel Sanders, who is one of the best field stretchers in the league. The dude is super quick. Even still, you know, obviously, I don't think he's lost a step like a lot of people think. I think he's still a top-tier receiver. Just nobody's utilizing him. Obviously, Demaryius Thomas is one of the best receivers in the league with some of the surest hands. But again, the past couple of years, there hasn't been a quarterback there to utilize them. So I have Emmanuel Sanders on my fantasy team, so I can go ahead and attest to what's going on with that. So personally, I don't see it. I don't see him lasting the rest of the season. I might have been a little premature saying he was going to get canned by the end of week six. I'm still kind of riding that, though. I don't think if they lose again, I don't think he stays around. But again, it's going to come down to John Elway's ego and what they end up thinking about that. Like I said, he could be second place or the hottest seat, if you will. I personally think the hottest seat in the NFL is Jason Garrett. And I know Jerry Jones has backed him and backed him and backed him, but eventually you got to get tired of the product that's on the field, right? You got to get, I mean, like I said a couple episodes ago, I hope he coaches them forever, but you got to admit at some point that he's not putting a winning product on the field. And a lot of people think they should have a winning product based on the players that they have. You know, Zeke is an absolute beast. I don't know. Their defense has been playing well, but they just can't get it done. They cannot get it done. So I think Jason Garrett's on the scorching seat, if you will. That's what we're going to call it. I don't think Jerry Jones would ever fire him in the middle of the season just based on how much support he's given him over the years. But I do think at the end of this season, they're going to end up parting ways. Eventually, you got to admit that you're wrong or whatever. And I know it's going to be hard for Jerry Jones to do that. Like I said, I hope they give him a 10-year extension and he stays around forever. But I just don't see it happening. I think they're going to be a little more fed up than what you'd expect from Jerry Jones. Sticking in Texas, my third guy on the hot seat is Bill O'Brien. The Texans have underperformed to this point. And they've lost some close games, so it's hard to say that they've been, like, terrible. But there's been some questionable play calling. There's been some strange things that not go their way at all. But ultimately, I think a lot of that falls on Bill O'Brien. And unfortunately, obviously, being from Penn State, I was happy to see him get the job there. He's done a good job, I think. And it's hard to say he's on the hot seat, but you know, they can't win a game. So, I mean, now that they're 1-4, thankfully they beat the Cowboys, which is great. Maybe that'll get them on an upswing, but that division is very winnable, I think. And it's hard. You know, the Colts are in not a great time right now. They're transitioning. Andrew Luck has zero weapons at all. You know, Jacksonville hasn't looked the same. I mean, they look decent, but they definitely haven't looked the same. So, I don't know. I think he's definitely on the hot seat just based on track record in Houston and what they expect, especially after how last year went. You know, you had a lot of hope. Got a young quarterback who looked really, really good, gets hurt. You'd expect him to come back, and they would utilize him to the best of his abilities and win some games. So I don't think he gets canned at the end of the season unless they don't win 7 games. If they can't get to 7-9, I think Bill O'Brien's gonna be gone. So we'll see what happens. But I think they'll pull it together a little bit and be okay. Then now that they got the one win under their belt, maybe they'll be able to roll the dice a little more and play. On that note, we will get to the Eagles because I feel like the transition from a young injured quarterback and shitty play calling fits perfectly with how fucking awful the Eagles have been this season. Like I said, this is not your dad's podcast. So yes, I did just drop an F-bomb, because that's one of the few words that I think describes this Eagles team so far. And, shit show, hot garbage, complete, utter embarrassment. There's a lot of words you can use to describe how they've been playing so far. And, I think Doug Peterson needs to take some of the blame for that. But also on top of that, these players have zero heart. They come out, they're not ready to play. You know, you cannot give up 20 some points to a team and then just expect to come back. And you can't lay down in the fourth quarter to a Tennessee team that you're up by 17 on and let them come back in the game and then convert three fourth downs, including a fourth and 19 in overtime, and then let them win. I am absolutely embarrassed by the Eagles. I'm embarrassed by the talk about the Eagles. I'm fed up with hearing these guys' excuses for why they come out how they do or whatever. They can just say it flat out. We won a Super Bowl and now we think we're the shit and it doesn't matter what we do. And that's not the case at all. You won the Super Bowl, which means you're getting every team's best shot. Every single team that comes out is going to give you the best shot. They beat Atlanta. And Atlanta has issues with the Eagles. I don't know why. It used to be the other way around. The Eagles never beat Atlanta. So I'm glad it's changed. But ultimately, it's embarrassing. It really is. They beat Atlanta on another fourth and goal stop. Basically the exact same game. We already talked about that earlier. Then they go into Tampa and get lit up by Fitzmagic. Who now is on the bench. So that tells you exactly what these teams are giving to the Eagles, which is to hit them as hard as they can and see what they can do. Because everybody, including myself, thought the Eagles would have a little bit of a slump to start the season, like you always do, the little Super Bowl hangover, yada, yada, yada. Since then, they have been awful. I am absolutely disappointed. The Tampa Bay game, I kind of saw happening just based on the fact of how Tampa came out in the first game. And, they destroyed the Eagles. That Foles tried to mount a comeback, you know, in the fourth quarter and they got close, but they didn't get it done. So imagine what would have happened if they actually played the whole game. Then they go to Tennessee God, I mean, honestly, like, how do you lose that game? You're up by 17 going into the fourth quarter. And then, obviously, I'm a massive Mariota fan. He came from Oregon. I'm a huge fan. But let's not pretend he's an elite quarterback. He's been injured a bunch. He's still a young guy. So, I mean, he's obviously on the upswing. But you can't give up 17 points in the fourth quarter to a kid that's been in the league 4 years or 5 years, whatever it is at this point, 3 years, 4 years for all I know, and been injured for half of them, you know, and then let them go into the overtime and they converted a fourth and 19. Are you shitting me? That's exactly what I'm talking about with no heart and no drive to win anymore. The underdog thing doesn't work for them anymore. Whatever, it doesn't matter. You know, what does matter is that you're not winning any football games. And then they, I'm sorry, I'm drawing a complete blank on, I forgot about Indy in there, who they beat, but Andrew Luck's beat up, and that Indianapolis team is not good, and they barely beat them. So that's kind of why my brain skipped right over them. I am, I'm pissed off about it, if you can't tell. I'm sick and tired of watching this team just fall flat on their face. So they win against the Falcons, barely. They get slaughtered by the Buccaneers, more so than the score showed. They beat the Colts by 4, and that took another goal line stop. They go into Tennessee, they get beaten overtime, and then they lose to the fucking Vikings on Sunday. on a game they should have won. Should have won. And the Vikings came out, and that's a quarterback that the Eagles are very familiar with. And, I mean, at this point, like, what the hell is going on? This defense has looked absolutely horrid. They've given up 104 points in five games to less than stellar offenses, let's be honest. They held the Falcons to 12 somehow, and then gave up 27 to Fitztragic, gave up 20 to the Colts, gave up 26 to the Titans, and then gave up 23 to the Vikings, most of that being the first quarter. The first half. So, where to start? Where to even start with this team? Doug Peterson, I think, has lost his edge a little bit. I don't know why he came out so flat, but he does not have this team ready to play ever. They're not good. They don't come out ready to play, and trying to come back from 20 points every game doesn't fucking work, as we've seen at this point. So he needs to get his shit together enough to...
And not to mention that when it's fourth down and you take as much time as possible instead of kicking a field goal, you set yourself up for failure right there.
Don't even get me fucking started on that. Well, he wasn't.
It's possible we could have won. But no, he looks like an idiot.
Let's take a fucking penalty and then punt it. It makes no sense. The same thing. It makes about as much sense as running our running backs 12 times the entire game against a Vikings front that we should be able to run on. But no, let's call 12 running plays. We have a quarterback who's getting absolutely dismantled because our offensive line can't fucking block. They can't stand in the way of anybody. They're getting lit up by every single defensive line we face. Jay Ajayi is an absolute tank, and I'm pissed off for him that they're wasting, and now that he's on IR for the rest of the season, they wasted five games with him to show what he can do, because this is his chance to get paid. And now he has another knee issue, and you know, who knows if he's going to play up to standards. He's not going to get the paycheck he wanted. He's not going to get the paycheck he deserves if the Eagles would have ran him. But now we have no fucking running backs. We got JJ on IR. Clement can't stay healthy to save his life. Sproles, I'm sorry, is old and keeps getting injured. As much as I love Sproles, I wish he would be back. He's not an every down back. So that leaves us with Adams, who I love. Everybody knows from the preseason one, I love Adams, and I was absolutely pissed off that they let him go to waivers. Thankfully, he cleared waivers and was on the practice squad. So we have him, and then we have Wendell Smallwood, and I think you all know how I feel about him. So I'm sorry if I'm coming off very aggressive about this, but I cannot stand to watch this team play. All I can do is shake my head in disappointment with what's been going on. I did see some rumors today that the Eagles might be inquiring about getting Shady McCoy back, which I'd be stoked about. Don't get me wrong. I'm an absolute fan of Shady, obviously. I was a huge fan of that team before stupid-ass Chip Kelly went ahead and dismantled it. DeSean Jackson is one of my favorite Eagle receivers of all time. Close competition with like Tommy McDonald and Mike Quick and, you know, those guys. So, but I'm a huge Jackson fan. I'm a huge Shady fan. I hear, there was some kickback about it. He said he heard about it. Sean McDermott, who obviously has Eagle ties because he came out from under Andy Reid. He has ties to the Eagles organization and didn't say, I don't know. He indirectly said that the Eagles have reached out about it. But he said they're more focused on playing the Texans, yada, yada, yada. You know how that goes. He doesn't want to address it. I, for one, would be super stoked to get Shady back. I don't think he's past his prime. Okay, maybe he's a little past his prime, but I don't think he's washed up like a lot of the fan boards and all a lot of Eagles fans are saying. They don't want him back. I personally would be all over it. I'd take him back in a heartbeat just because Chip Kelly did him wrong. They did DeSean wrong. I was a huge advocate for the Eagles trying to get Jackson back, and unfortunately he ended up choosing Tampa Bay. And you saw what he did to us week two. He still has it. He never should have been gone. You know, Macklin wanted too much money, so he was gone, which I'm fine with. He's not even playing anymore. But Shady and Jackson both deserve to still be in an Eagles uniform. They deserve to win that Super Bowl with us last year. Two of my favorite Eagles of all time. So I, for one, would welcome Shady back with open arms. I would absolutely love to see what he could do. I know, personally, I think the town would welcome him back with open arms. They are, they're big, you know, they're big Shady fans. They still are. I know a lot of them are on the, oh, we got to get Le'Veon Bell and trade Pittsburgh for Le'Veon Bell. They restructured, you know, Fletcher Cox deal, which everyone, of course, is like, oh, they're making a play for Le'Veon, which may still be in the works. Don't get me wrong. Howie Roseman's is a master of making stuff work. Look at the team last year he put together that won the Super Bowl. Obviously, if you can get Le'Veon Bell, go get fucking Le'Veon Bell. I'm not going to be here and say, like, yeah, we need Shady McCoy over Le'Veon Bell. If there was a chance that Le'Veon Bell could come to Philly, I would be trying to use it as much as I could. I just don't think that's what they're doing with it yet. And I'm not saying they haven't reached out at all. I just don't think that's where they're trying to go. But they need to find a running back, because now Ajayi's gone for the season, and he was our back. Even though they refused to run him at all. Thanks a lot, Doug. It still pisses me off, so I apologize. But I just don't think they're playing how they played last year at all. I think they're frustrated. I liked Ajayi calling out the play calling. I think he was 100% right that it doesn't make any sense to have, you know, I get it that our running back core was depleted, but we did still have Ajayi out there, and instead we run the ball 12 times. You put the Vikings in a position to win because we didn't control time of possession. Our defense got a little manhandled, not to mention an absolute horrible roughing the passer call on Michael Bennett, which I will get into shortly, because last week we discussed how fucking tragic they're turning the league into with this horrible, horrible roughing calls, and this was another one of them. So we'll get into that in a minute. But honestly, I just cannot support. Obviously, I'm always going to be an Eagles fan, and I will always stand behind them, and I will always root for them. I will watch every single game, just like I have been all season. It's just irritating as hell to see this team playing like this and to see the crappy play calling and not to kick a field goal. I don't know. I think there's been a lot of shit going on with the Eagles organization, and I think there's a lot of stuff that's I would consider distraction. Going back to the Le'Veon, you know, McCoy thing, I think, obviously, like I said, if you can get Le'Veon Bell and not have to give up your entire freaking farm for him, go for it. If you can get McCoy for a draft pick or maybe a couple late-round draft picks, that's the route I think I would rather go. He's fine. He fits into Philly fine. I think he fits Doug Peterson's offense a little bit better, just because Peterson is from the Andy Reid tree, and we all know what McCoy did under Andy Reid. He was absolutely amazing. Like I said, I'm a Shady fan. Father Flapjack is a big Shady fan. He actually, he was such a big McCoy fan. I got him McCoy's jersey the first year he played when he was number 29. And now obviously the next year he switched to 25, but just to show like how much we've supported Shady since he got in the league. We've watched him in Buffalo, which, you know, is frustrating to say the least, because he's still an elite running back, in my opinion. I think the downplay on him is because he's in Buffalo, and that's just not fair. They're awful. They've been awful forever, and they're going to continue to be awful. So if it was me running the Eagles, and I'm Howie Roseman, yes, of course, I put a couple feelers out for Le'Veon, But I'm really, really digging for the McCoy because I think that's a better option financially, of course, because Le'Veon wants to get paid. And B, it's Shady McCoy. Like, he would fit back in perfectly, at least in my opinion. So, I don't know, man. I want the Eagles to do something in running back-wise. Like, I love Adams. I think he's great. I do not like Wendell Smallwood, although he did have a good game against the Vikings. Caught a touchdown. You know, whatever. Didn't run a whole lot, obviously, because nobody ran a whole lot. But he's looking better. I just don't see him as a great running back option. I think we need, even if Sproles comes back, I still think we need a number one hitter. With the Jai gone, we need somebody. McCoy would be great. I would love to see a McCoy, Adams, and Sproles tandem. You know, I'm not sure when Sproles is going to be back. I know he still has not practiced up to this point, so it's hard to say. Like, yeah, that's what we want, kind of deal. But I really want the I really want the Eagles to make a move for a running back, regardless of what it is. I think they can go either way, and obviously fans would be a lot happier if we got Le'Veon Bell, but they also don't think about the long-term implications of that. And trading whatever Pittsburgh is going to want for Le'Veon Bell for a one-year loaner, and at this point it's a, you know, 11-game loaner, because there's no saying he would resign with the Eagles or wouldn't. You know, obviously there's potential there, but McCoy is the safer bet, you know. And I know he's not talking about it, but he did throw a little jab in there saying he should have never gotten traded anyway. And I think he even said he was killing it, I think was the verbiage he used, which is exactly right. Chip Kelly ruined that team. I would love for him to come back and absolutely shred and win a Super Bowl just to stick a middle finger up to Chip Kelly with a ring on it and tell him to kiss that. So I don't know. We're going to keep an eye on it, of course, and I'll be talking about the Eagles all season, because that's my boys and that's who I will continue to watch every game. But we watch all football. The Chiefs, we've talked about in the past. Obviously, we watch them a lot because of Andy Reid. Patrick Mahomes is still killing it. He finally had his first, like, quote unquote challenge of the season, I guess, cause he didn't play great Sunday, but they still found a way to win, and drag it out. You know, I guess you could say the game against the Broncos was a little bit of a challenge, but I think we all knew that they were going to pull it out in the second half. This coming week, however, is going to be a massive test for him. Foxborough is, I believe they're playing in Foxborough. I don't know if I'm right, but either way, he's playing the Patriots, which is enough said. But in Foxborough, until you've played there or been there or whatever, I don't think you can understand what kind of atmosphere those Patriots fans bring. And especially now that it seems like the Patriots are kind of back to the team that we all kind of thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season. They've turned it around a lot. They look a lot better than they had. I'm still not entirely convinced that they're back to 100% of what we expected, of course. But I do think they're back on track to being, of course, the top tier of the AFC, probably fighting for another Super Bowl. So we'll see what happens regardless. I am impressed with the way they're able to tune out the bullshit every season, it seems like, anymore. And then they come back and they're ready to play and whatever. So we'll see what happens to that. I personally think that the Chiefs are going to win that game. Nothing against Belichick and the Patriots, obviously. I just think Mahomes is that good right now, and I think the Chiefs in general are that good. Their offense is
fake news.
No,
it's fake news.
What's fake news is the Patriots still being elite. Of course, Patriots fans are gonna think I'm completely wrong. I'm not saying anything other than that. I think the Chiefs are just gonna win this game. I'm not saying that the Chiefs are a better team than the Patriots or you know, that the Chiefs are going to dismantle them. I think it's going to be very similar to that Broncos game, and I think the Chiefs just end up pulling it out in the fourth quarter. But I could see it going the exact opposite way, too, because the Chiefs' defense hasn't played great either. So Belichick is the master of moving the puzzle pieces around to get his guys, you know, wherever they go. You know, like I said, I think at either the first or the second show, you know, he could get a bag boy from the grocery store and somehow turn him into a star slot receiver. So I will never count the Patriots out. I just think that Andy Reid and Mahomes together, it reminds me a little bit of when Vic came to Philly and everyone was kind of like, what the hell are the Eagles doing? And Vic fit really well into Andy Reid's play calling and vice versa. Obviously, Mahomes has an absolute cannon for an arm. I couldn't believe in those warm-ups he's throwing, you know, 80 yards in the air without taking a step. He's got a cannon, no doubt. And he's mobile, obviously, which is a big help nowadays. It also helps to have Tyreek Hill and those kind of weapons behind you. And obviously, Andy Reid's been in the league. I still think he's one of the best coaches the NFL has ever seen. I think him and the Eagles split at the right time just because it was kind of turning into a sour relationship. And the Chiefs were very, very, very smart to grab him. I want him to get a ring so bad. I don't think anybody but other Eagles fans will understand what I mean by saying that, or feel the same way for that matter. I just want Andy Reid to get a ring. Like, he deserves it. He's an absolutely phenomenal coach. Every team he coaches is good, you know. I mean, look what he did with Alex Smith. And now Mahomes, everyone in the offseason was like, oh, Mahomes isn't ready. He isn't ready. You know, they traded away their quarterback. You can look at what Washington's doing, and you can look at the 5-0 Chiefs and compare those two if you are still confused about why they got rid of Alex Smith when they did. I'm a massive Andy Reid fan as a guy, as well as a coach. I just think he deserves a ring. So if you're not playing the Eagles in the Super Bowl, I hope you get your ring there, Andy. It would just be nice to see a guy like that, you know, finally put it together enough to wear a ring. So regardless, the Chiefs look phenomenal. Like I said, I don't think anything weird about it. I just think that they're going to beat the Patriots. And it's going to be a close game. I think ultimately it's not going to be a blowout. I don't see that going either way, regardless of who wins. I don't see a blowout either way. So, that obviously is coming up Sunday. The Eagles are playing tomorrow night. They're going to be going against the Giants in New York, which is great. We have good luck in MetLife or the Meadowlands, preferably, is what where the Eagles have really good luck. But it'll be good to see a division game for the Eagles, and I think this is going to be the gut check that maybe tells them, like, look, you get your shit together or this is going to keep happening. If they lose tomorrow night, I think it's safe to say that there's going to be some shakeups coming. I'm not saying Doug's going to get fired, obviously, but I do think the roster gets shook up a little bit, and he tries to move some pieces around to get something going. I am excited to see them play. Obviously, it's always nice when they're on TV because I get to kind of pick them apart and see what's going on. So anyway, we'll touch on that next week. I do apologize. There wasn't a podcast last week. I was super sick, and my voice sounded like cats being strangled and then thrown across the street and still talking. I don't even know. It sounded awful. So extremely scratchy. Didn't think anybody would want to listen to that at all. So you can excuse last week, but yes, we still will be doing weekly podcasts, barring any sort of cat strangling voices going on or not being available to do it. Cecil, my man, who is supposed to be my co-anchor, but we work opposite schedules, and he plays pool semi-professionally, so he's a very busy guy. I'm very busy, obviously, with a five-year-old. I normally do these podcasts at 8 o'clock at night or whatever, but I did talk to him today. I do think next week will be our first podcast together, finally, which will be great. He's a good buddy of mine, but he's very up to date on stuff. The whole podcast idea actually started because we worked at a GMC dealership together, and we always made the joke that we should set a recorder out because we just bullshit about sports all day. So very, very excited to get him in here whenever that does happen. He's my Colorado guy, if you will. He's a resident Colorado fan for pretty much everything. So he loves the Broncos, loves the Rockies, loves the Nuggets. I'm not sure he's a huge hockey guy, but I know, like, for instance, last year he was at the Detroit Avalanche game. So I think he's at least a little bit of a fan of that. So Cecil, if you're listening, get your damn ass here next week so we can get this thing going. I don't know how bored people are of listening to my voice, but I'm tired of hearing just my voice. Father Flapjack was supposed to be this week, but the new sub shop has been taken off like crazy. So if you're listening and have been to the new shop, thank you. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting my family's business. The grand opening was a massive success, and all you guys that go there weekly, or even I've had a couple buddies send me pictures a couple times a week. So if you're one of those people that are going in there, thank you. Thank you. Thank you again. If you haven't been in there, get your ass to Trevelli's Hoagies and get yourself a damn Philly style cheesesteak. Or if you like some spaghetti sauce, get yourself an Italian steak. I don't give a shit what you get. Just get something on the menu. And shoot us a message on Facebook or Instagram or however you want to get a hold of us, and let us know you went in, and tell us how good the food is. So, again, it's been hectic trying to get these done every week, and especially when I want to have guests. And on the down low, I've been trying to get some interviews going, so it's not just me talking to myself the whole time. But obviously, being a brand new podcast, I don't have a lot of listeners to go back on to say however many people are going to listen to this. So it's a struggle. But if you've been listening to us, I greatly, greatly appreciate you taking the time out of your day. I know an hour long of listening to me bullshit about sports may not be ideal for a lot of people. But if you're one of those people that's been listening and taking the time to engage and talk with us, I really appreciate it. I would like to get some call-ins going. So if you're listening and you want to bullshit, or if you're just a fan in general and want to bullshit, I would love to get a phone call going, and we'll record it, and I'll plug it into the podcast, and from there we can get some dialogue going back and forth. Obviously, it's kind of impossible to do like a live call-in, but I am perfectly happy doing a recorded call and adding it into the podcast. So you can find us on Facebook. I've told you this already, but it's Facebook, and then According to Flapjack, you can find us on Twitter at Flapjack Steve is the Twitter handle. That's probably the easiest place to message me other than Facebook if you're not a Facebook person. I know Facebook's kind of turning into like just for old people kind of deal, but I'm still on there, so you're more than willing to or more than welcome to message me there. You're more than welcome to hit us up on Twitter. I think you can leave us comments and stuff like that on Anchor and Spotify and all that. So I would love to get some more dialogue going is basically, I guess, what it comes down to. So thank you again for listening tonight. I'm going to cut this one a little bit short of an hour, but normally that's the case. If you guys liked Tyler, my kiddo, being on here just for a little bit, I would love to hear some feedback on that. He'd get a kick out of seeing people comment on him being on the podcast. He's been bugging me, and since he's only five, it's hard to keep his attention span long enough for him to be here. Like, he's gone already. So he left probably about a half hour ago, something like that. So, but if you liked listening to him kind of talk with me and want to hear more of him, I would love to hear some feedback on that. I think that is it for tonight. I'm going to sign off. I'm probably going to be back Tuesday is kind of the nights I'm trying to do it on because it fits perfectly into our schedule, other than the boy having T-ball at 5 o'clock or whatever. But after that, the Monday night game's over. We have the weekend of sports is over. So Tuesdays are probably where I'd like to keep it. Eventually, I'd like to do Tuesdays and Thursdays. But that's just kind of looking into the future a little bit. So, again, thanks for listening. Hit us up, bullshit with us, Come tell me I'm wrong about everything. I don't care. I just love talking sports with you guys, and I really appreciate the listeners. I am going to plug this thing. You got anything there, Prod Flop?
I got nothing.
Got nothing. All right, everybody, I hope you have a fabulous night and an excellent, excellent weekend. Enjoy some sports. There's going to be some really good games this weekend. We will talk to you next week. Good night, everybody.